This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I'm joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We are back today with a lot of topics to get into from the week. We are going to, obviously, discuss the Alabama quarterback situation. I have spent a long time discussing who I wished it was going to be, and I am officially wrong now. Now, I think we knew it was going to happen for a while, and I knew it was going to happen for a while, but it's officially official that I am incorrect. I have hitched my wagon to maybe the wrong quarterback, but I'm not quite giving up yet. We're also going to spend a little bit of time reacting to last weekend's scrimmage. We're going to preview tomorrow's scrimmage, the second and final scrimmage before Alabama heads out to play Florida State. We're going to take a look at this all-time AP All-American first team that released this week. Alabama had two players make the cut. But my biggest gripe is maybe with another non-Alabama name on the list. And then finally, probably the most exciting part of the show for me, we get to talk about who is likely my new favorite 2027 prospect, Quintarius Mooney Gibson, running back from Cal High School in Marietta, Georgia. Absolutely electrifying player. I cannot wait to introduce Joe to him and give Joe a little bit of homework maybe for this weekend. And then if we have a little bit of time, we'll maybe preview tonight's NFL preseason games. We may get to see a little bit of Jalen Milroe this evening, hopefully in his second bit of preseason action. Not sure if he's going to start or not, but we will get into that. But before we do all of those things, I got to tell you to follow both myself and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure you follow the show. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you get your podcast from. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you also go follow the Joe Gaither Show. Rate it 5 stars as well, so you can hear whatever we do not get into on this program. So with that being said, let's get right into it. Like I said earlier, I'm not eating my words yet, but Ty Simpson was officially named Alabama's starting quarterback this week. Cannot say that I did not see it coming. I would have been stupid not to have seen it coming. But I remain as concerned as I was when I thought he was going to be the starter. I'm just not sure if he can or will push the ball downfield. I still am worried that he is just the safest option. Ryan Grubb talked about it this week, and we talked about it on your show. His comments did not give me much confidence. He stuttered into well, we've done great pushing the ball downfield. We do a good thing. I really like what we've done as a group. Really like it. Did not love that from the offensive coordinator. Kane Womack did provide me with a bit of confidence with what he said, maybe addressing it a bit more specifically, talking about Ty's ability to be a playmaker, Ty's ability to make explosive plays. I think the team will ultimately be fine, but I just remain concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out soon enough for sure. But I think that Kane Womack's comments should let you know that I think you combine Kane Womack and Ryan Grubb's comments from the week to know that we're getting into good plays from an Alabama offense. We're not turning the football over, and we're still hitting some explosive plays when it's there, which is everything that you want from a quarterback. It's everything that I want from a quarterback.
I mean, yes. I hope that he does hit those explosive plays. I hope that it is not. I see an explosive play opportunity, but I'm worried I might throw an interception, so let me hit this check down for 6 yards.
Check down Charlie.
I just can't do a season of check down Charlie. Can't do it. I hope that I am incorrect about my assessment of Ty Simpson. I've said it for a while. I will continue to say it, If he proves me wrong, I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong, and I'll be happy to do it. But until that actually happens, until I actually see him take the field and, dominate a team, excuse me, with his arm, and lead this offense to a dominant performance, I'm just not going to buy the hype train. It's really the hype has just gotten so out of hand not just Ty Simpson. Like, I do think there's a lot of people who have a more reasonable opinion of him, especially people like on the more like national side of things who aren't necessarily as tuned into Alabama. But a lot of the Alabama faithful has already written him up as their Heisman winner, and it's just ridiculous. I just can't see it.
Well, he's my Heisman winner. I've already cashed in my vote. I've already cashed in everything that I need right there.
I will only believe it once I see it. I'm not, that goes for the other, the other two quarterbacks as well. I am not just sitting here saying, Ty's bad, those two guys are good. I still don't necessarily know what the other two have either. I just think that given the little bit of evidence we have of all three, the upside of those two is higher than Ty Simpson. And what we have heard about this quarterback battle, especially throughout the last week, is that it was very close. So why would you not go with the higher upside? Why would you not go with the higher ceiling? It feels like this coaching staff is picking the higher floor guy as opposed to the high ceiling. Yes. I just don't want safety.
Safety, but also I think if you don't go Ty Simpson, it's harder to throw Keelan Russell and Austin Mack in there right now. It's if Ty goes out there and bombs in a game, then you can pull him and be like, "Well, we tried. We did the right thing for the team.
Yeah.
We did the right thing for the team.
I don't care about the right thing for the team. I want who's going to win football games.
Well, I don't think that we're going to get deep in the third quarter against Florida State being, well, the offense hadn't moved for anything.
Yeah,
well,
I don't think so either.
Once you get to that point, they're like, sorry, buddy, you had your shot.
Sure.
Keelan Russell, go out there. Yeah. Austin Mack, go out there. Go save us. Save us, Keelan.
I do think that, and maybe I'm just continuing to ride the Austin Mack train, I do think he's maybe firmly your quarterback, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
You know, they have not told us outright, and I don't necessarily expect them to tell us outright until we maybe just get that depth chart on August 30th, August 31st, whatever day it is. But I think Austin Mack is probably firmly your QB2. I think that everyone in this building, me included, or I'm not in the building, but us outside of the building included, we all love Keelan Russell. We all think he's going to be amazing. We all expect him to be amazing. But he's just a freshman. Like, yeah, I think there's just still a lot to learn. That leap from, you know, I just got done talking about it on your show. I know he played against some of the best competition in the nation in high school, but that leap to college is still massive. It's the same as when people talk about going from college to the NFL, like the speed, like it just, the speed of the game, like doubles, it is so much, everything is happening so much faster. You have to be so much more on time with what you do. And that just takes time to figure out. So, I think Keelan Russell is your third quarterback, but it's nothing to do with his skill set, more just the fact that he is a freshman and he's just got to take some time to learn. But we will just have to see what happens with this quarterback room. You know, I will continue to be concerned, and I'm probably going to be concerned after week one still.
That's okay. I mean, I don't think you're out of bounds to be concerned, to be like, oh, maybe it won't work.
Just pump the brakes,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, right. I think that for the people who are, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, you're equally out of bounds if you're saying there's no way it works. He's no good. But you're also equally out of bounds if you, oh, he's going to be the Heisman Trophy. He's going to be better than... I think that, I mean, we'll find the truth somewhere in the middle. And whether the truth is, wow, he's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, he's adequate. Or, ooh, we need to go in a different direction. I don't think he's going to be the worst quarterback you've ever seen.
It's not going to be Tyler Buchner out there.
Yeah, no. but I do think that, people making definitive claims about Ty, what he will be, good or bad.
Yeah. You just can't do it yet.
Right. Just don't know. I feel good about saying I feel like he's going to be a success. I think that is, if I had to bet my $5 on him being a success, I would. But am I betting my entire house on him being a success? No. I'm betting, I can afford a $10 loss. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But that's where I am in the camp where I think he's going to work out, but... To sit here and say best quarterback in the SEC, best quarterback in the NCAA is, I think, a little bit foolish. But if he's won over the team, you combine the comments from everything you've got from coordinators and head coach, and all. I mean, every player we've talked to has been like, "Yeah, he's the guy." You incorporate a little bit of Nick Saban, a little bit of Nick Saban, who's won the team, and Ty seems to have done that.
Yeah.
I think you should feel like you're walking into the year about as good as you can for Kalen DeBoer, going with a brand new quarterback in year number two.
And I do think that is a big part of it that maybe I have not considered as much throughout this process is just the simple fact of like his relationships with his teammates. You know, I know we all saw the hunting trips. We all read about the hunting trips. Our friend Theo writing about
great
it.
Great stuff.
Fantastic stuff. I did not hear those things about Austin Mack or Keelan Russell with this team, Given it might have been a bit strange for a true freshman to come in and say, "Hey, everybody, come on down to Texas and we're going to hunt hogs or whatever."
Right.
But still, you just didn't really hear those stories. And I imagine that for Austin Mack also, still kind of feeling like a bit of a new guy around, especially compared to Ty Simpson. Maybe it is a bit awkward as well to, you know, take on that more vocal role of like, hey, I'm the guy who's organizing things. I'm the guy who's trying to build these relationships with the team. So I do think that's probably a big part of it. And it does seem that way from everything we've heard from the players, everything we've seen, you know, the glimpses we've gotten. It does seem as if Ty, his personality has kind of won everybody over. And, you know, like you said, that's what Coach Saban always said was most important. The team will tell you who the quarterback is. And it does seem like maybe the team has told us who the quarterback is, at least for right now. And they, you know, they're saying it's Ty Simpson. So it's just going to be what it is. It's a bit of a ridiculous exercise, but just real quick, with a stat line prediction, what are we thinking?
7,000 yards.
Yeah, that's no, reasonable.
36-50 with 32 total touchdowns. You can give me 26. Yeah, you can give me 26 passing and 6 rushing. I mean, that's still really high.
That's very high.
Yeah. Give me 30. Okay. 30 flat. Give me 30 flat. Give me 25 passing and 5 rushing across the season. And unfortunately, you're probably going to end up with 6 picks.
In 2022, Bryce Young threw for 3,300 yards, 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
What about 21?
21, it was 4,500 for 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That one is nobody's touching that. 4,800 for 47 touchdowns, 7 picks. I think I've got him down for 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. I don't think Ty's going to turn the ball over like at all. And I don't know. I think that is partially he's just good at, you know, he's secure with the ball. He's not going to make stupid decisions. But I do think part of it also is just going to be he might hold on to the ball a little bit too much when he shouldn't sometimes. But, you know, hey, he is the starter. It is what it is.
We're riding with it, baby.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be bad. I think he is going to be fine. I think this team is going to be fine. I really truly think, and, you know, we heard, I think, Greg McElroy say it, like, last week when he was talking about the scrimmage. Like, I feel good about, like, all three of these quarterbacks can take this team very far. They're all very good. I think they all have a good understanding of the offense. I think they're all very comfortable within the offense. But, you know, they picked Ty, and it is what it is. So we're going to see what he's got week one. It's going to be a tough opponent. Florida State is a completely different team than they were last year. A lot of new faces around. So we'll have to see what he does. But as far as, you know, back to last week's scrimmage, anything, you know, we heard about Cole Adams a little bit. We heard about Austin Mack, I think, being your QB2. We mentioned that already. I mentioned what Greg McElroy said. You know, he said all the quarterbacks look good. Point of concern that he mentioned, and I think I agree with him, especially on one of them, is the special teams. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you told me that Connor Talty bounced back from an early miss at the scrimmage, and that was great. I'm happy to hear that. But I just want to continue to hear more from them. I continue to not think, that's an odd way to phrase that, but that they're not going to be on the field a ton this year. Punting or kicking, either way. I don't think they're going to be on the field a ton. But you still have to have them, and you still have to be able to rely on your special teams. And right now, I mean, I know virtually nothing about the punting position, about punter right now, and very, very little about kicker. So, you know, I just want to hopefully continue to hear at least somewhat positive reports from the upcoming scrimmage. You know, we'll have to just kind of see what we got, because that's maybe my biggest point of concern is special teams. I mean, also, like, who's returning? Who are your return guys?
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Yeah, I'm pretty concerned. My concern for the specialist is still probably at a 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of information that you're hearing, the inexperience in an Alabama uniform. If you go with Alex Asparuhov at punter, that's a true freshman. If you go with, you are pretty much going to Connor Talti at place kicker, yep. who's got like 4 career extra points. I don't feel that concerned about return game because I think it's going to end up being Jalen Mbakwe.
Yeah, I mean, I think whoever it is, you probably got good athletes to throw back.
Yeah, there. Rico Scott's probably a good candidate as well. Maybe even a Dijon Lee, I think, is probably the third option. Latzia Brooks, if he gets healthy, goodness gracious. But I'm pretty concerned about when Alabama has to actually put toe to leather. Mm-hmm. Burnham was a weapon the last 2 years, especially the last year. We didn't have Will Reichert last season, but Graham Nicholson wasn't horrid. He wasn't great, but he wasn't horrid. I'm still at a 7, 8, 9 concern with the specialists.
Yeah, me too. And you mentioned Lotzier Brooks there. That's another thing that I want to hopefully hear about. Maybe he gets to participate in tomorrow's scrimmage. I don't believe he was participating last weekend. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about him. I know he had sat out, for most of the practices leading up to it with some sort of undisclosed foot, ankle, lower extremity injury, whatever it is. He was wearing a boot, riding the bike, and then he took the boot off, was still off to the side in the black jersey. So just hopefully, we get him back on the field maybe tomorrow. If he is back on the field, maybe we hear some good reports. Because, man, what was it? I mean, not 6 months ago, we were sitting here talking about back in the spring, like watching these clips. This guy's going to be amazing. This guy, freshman receiver that's going to make an impact, Lotzier Brooks. And, it feels like we haven't really heard his name at all through fall camp.
Yeah, the last time we were allowed at practice, he was not participating. He was off to the side. I think he hurt a foot, an ankle. We were told it wasn't serious.
It didn't seem like it was.
We were told it wasn't serious, and I believe that. But if you are a true freshman, even though all of them except for Chuck and Caleb Edwards, Chuck McDonald and Caleb Edwards, enrolled early. Mm-hmm. So lots here enrolled early and did get spring, as you just kind of mentioned. But any missed time as a freshman puts you back. Any missed time puts you behind the eight ball. So I'm wondering if he's staring at a red shirt right in his face, which stinks. We'll see.
Yeah, I would hate to see that. I mean,
we don't know.
Probably, I don't think you necessarily need him this year if you're Alabama. You probably can't afford to redshirt him, just given the depth you have at wide receiver and especially at the, just the top end guys. But yeah, I still want to hopefully see him get on the field. And you mentioned another guy there, the one of the two guys that was not a early enrollee, Caleb Edwards. Another guy that we kind of heard a little bit about this week, I think, getting involved maybe in the scrimmage last weekend. He's really, I think he has the opportunity to carve out a really big role on this team. Like, he's the only kind of dynamic passing threat that you have in that tight end room. I think all of the other guys are more blocking first, and then, hey, we can catch when you need us to. But Caleb Edwards kind of feels like that modern mold of tight end where it's, hey, he's almost a receiver, just a big receiver. I don't know. I just feel like there's really good opportunity for him to really make himself, known this season.
I definitely agree. I think that he's probably got a big future at Alabama. We said it earlier on the other program that I feel pretty good about it. I think that he's going to be the type to where it will take him another couple of weeks to assimilate to college football. But I'm looking at that trip to Missouri as an opportunity for him to start his ascension. And I think that by the time the LSU game rolls around, Oklahoma game rolls around, you're looking at him as, we better keep our eye on, I think it's 81. We got to keep our eye on 81.
And this, I don't know exactly what he's going to get this year. Like you just said, it may take him a bit to kind of find his way, find his role within the offense and for him to kind of figure out exactly what he's going to be doing and like that. But it's been a long time. I mean, I don't know who the last guy was that Alabama had at the tight end position that was really kind of as dynamic as he has the potential to be.
Yeah, Irv Smith was good for a year, but I think not didn't live up to a level 10 tight. He was an 8, 9. He was a 7, 8, 9 tight end.
always thought maybe Cameron Latu had a chance to be an exciting electric tight end, but he got over 400 yards once, I think.
Yeah, and they never used O.J. Howard near enough.
Never used O.J. Howard enough. So, you know, Caleb Edwards really does have the chance to not only, you know, carve himself out a role this year, but like really just be a kind of huge name in Alabama history, because there's not many big time receiving tight ends in the history of the program. So I'm excited for what he can do. You know, I hope he has a big year and then obviously a huge career after that. He's just brings so much to the table. He really unlocks the offense, or really can unlock the offense,
yeah,
I think.
I agree.
And then also, you know, to alleviate a bit of alleviate my concerns with Ty, like it gives him more incentive to push the ball downfield if you've got this 6'6", 250-pound target down there just waiting on you.
Big monster.
Yeah. Let's see. What else did we hear from last week's scrimmage? Kalen DeBoer obviously talked following it, mentioned some of the wide receivers getting involved, some of the new guys. Let's see, Isaiah Horton, he said, making some plays. Rico Scott making some plays. I think Cole Adams even made a play.
That was the biggest surprise to me, is I heard a good amount that ooh, Cole Adams is. And so to have him out there, I mean, I thought he was a good player last year, but just never didn't. It was hard for him to carve out to really get a big role and then got hurt. But I thought he's open a lot. If Jalen would just take the underneath stuff.
So we will, I'm not at all concerned with this wide receiver. Like, I think no matter who it is, you put Cole Adams out there, you put whatever combination of three you're throwing on the field, I think you're pretty much fine going all the way down to Derek Meadows. Yeah. Like, at Derek Meadows. Like, I think top to bottom, this wide receiver room is probably one of the best in the nation, if not the best in the nation. I feel confident in saying that they're, going to not necessarily have to bail Ty out, because he might be fine, he might be really good, he might be amazing. But if they do have to, they will be able to very easily, I think. Also, in last week's scrimmage, two linemen missed out with injury. Jaden Roberts, who we've kind of heard weird, I don't know what's going on exactly with Jaden Roberts. We kind of get strange conflicting reports back and forth on one thing or another. Not really, it's all rumor stuff, so we're not going to super get into it too much. You know, maybe battling a head issue, maybe battling an injury, who knows what it is. But regardless, Geno Vandermark was on the field for Alabama in last week's scrimmage. Jaden Roberts was not participating, so I hope to maybe see him participating tomorrow. Hope to maybe see that he has reclaimed his spot as a starter, maybe. Who knows? I don't even know if he's necessarily lost it right now. It's just what we have seen at practice is that Geno has been kind of starting in his place. So, we'll get maybe a clearer idea of what's going on there tomorrow if Jaden Roberts does indeed play. And if he's out again, then I think we probably have to assume it's going to be Geno moving forward. So either way, I think we'll probably get a clearer picture, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, James Smith, who didn't participate last weekend on the defensive side of the ball, I very much hope he participates tomorrow, and I hope that we hear he has 14 sacks and that he absolutely obliterated Alabama's offensive line. I guess not really, because that kind of is a positive negative to it, but I hope that we hear good things about James Smith.
Yes, because you heard tons and tons and tons of good things about him in preseason, in the spring, and in the summer. So if he can, I mean, the biggest thing is make sure he's healthy for the start of the year,
sure.
But I think that starts tomorrow. Is you got to get yourself some reps, some live reps under your belt. This is a big fella, and so it's really important to get him on the field tomorrow.
And the last thing that I think we heard a little bit about this week from last week's scrimmage was maybe Daniel Hill getting involved, Daniel Mountain, as you like to call him, and also maybe showing off a skill set that we did not necessarily anticipate him having. Maybe as a bit more of a receiving threat out of the backfield than I had previously given him credit for, just given his size at, about 6'1", 240 or so. I would not expect a guy like that to be a receiver out of the backfield, but I think we heard this week that he's kind of been able to do that and do it pretty effectively. I don't know that he has edged out Richard Young in that room, but I do know we haven't heard Richard Young's name in probably over a week. So take that as you will. I'm interested to just see maybe further, hear maybe further, how this running back room is being split up. I want to know where is Richard Young?
Yeah, he's a guy that, man, if he thought that he was going to be the fourth running back last year again, then he probably would have gone in the transfer portal. It seems like he's been passed by Dre Washington and Daniel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's a really big day for him as well.
Hopefully we hear a report. Maybe he'll break one, and then we all get to be confused again on how this running back room is going to be split up. And, I mean, with that said, like, I guess, is there anything specific? You know, I know you mentioned offensive line being a thing. We obviously are looking for the offensive line. We've mentioned special teams that we're looking for. Is there anything else that you are hoping to hear from or hear about to tomorrow's scrimmage?
I'm hoping that when Coach DeBoer comes in there that he continues to say that the offense is getting in and out of the huddle efficiently, that there's not any pre-snap penalties, yeah, not any delay of games. And I'm really curious to hear about the running game as a whole, how the running game goes up against Alabama's run defense. On the Joe Gaither show today, we talked about at Florida State's offensive line, and there's some big boys right there. So you're going to have to be ready. I think, especially when you have a guy like Thomas Castellanos, you're probably looking at a run-heavy offense where, you know, you split zone, you know, extra hat in a gap with the quarterback. I'm very, very interested and curious to know if some of these run fits are cleaned up from the Alabama defensive perspective.
Yeah, I would also like to know. We'll have to find out. You know, we'll be back Monday on the Joe Gaither show, I'll be back Tuesday on the Joe Gaither. Well, maybe not. We'll see. I'll be out of town next week, so we'll find out if I'm going to be able to join the show or not. And I'll have to find out what the situation is going to look like or what the setup's going to look like. But anyway, let's move now to the to this AP All American First Team list. All time, or this, good Lord, it's a mouthful. All time AP All American First Team. Two Alabama guys make the cut for the first team. John Hanna, Derek Thomas. Not going to hear any arguments from me there on either of those guys. They absolutely belong on that list. However, I would have liked to have maybe seen one of the Bama running backs make the cut, at least on any of these teams. Devontae Smith was the only other player to make the cut on the second team. No Derrick Henry, no Mark Ingram, no Trent Richardson, none of those guys. A bit disappointed by that. I mean, I guess I understand it. There's a lot of good running backs that have been in the history of college football, but man, I would have thought maybe at least one of those Bama guys was making the cut.
Yeah, no, Derrick Henry is shocking to me. Heisman Trophy winner, was dominant that season. I guess you're probably looking at longevity.
And that's my issue. That brings us perfectly to my problem with this list. Tim Tebow is not the greatest quarterback in the history of college football. He's just not. That honor belongs to one Mr. Cam Newton. Cam Newton put together the greatest single season, the greatest peak we have ever seen in college football for a player. No one's ever done it like Cam Newton did. I never thought I'd see this day where I'm sitting here defending Cam Newton until I'm blue in the face. But like, no one has ever done it like him. At least no one that I've seen. Now, I didn't watch college football in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But no one I've ever seen has done it like Cam Newton. It's just ridiculous to put Tebow on there. And they're doing it because they are looking at career. They're looking at career achievements. They're looking at, oh, well, he did it over 3 years. I don't care. That means, like, longevity is stupid to me in these arguments when we're talking about players like greatness. I think we need to look at each player's peak. What was that player at their best, and who was better when they were at their best? Cam Newton is head and shoulders above Tim Tebow at his best.
Was Vince Young better than him at his best?
Probably, yes.
I'm pretty sure that I read that they put Tebow over Vince Young.
I think that's what I saw. Yeah. Yes. Joe Burrow.
Can we not get an A.J. McCarron Legacy Award?
A.J. McCarron is one that he's only getting in because of how long he was here. I think that's just a really dumb way for me to judge these things, because it's unfair to like players playing in the modern era, because so many guys now are only 1 year starters, 2 year starters, because it's just the way college football is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have guys who sit at schools for 4 or 5 years now anymore. Like, it's just not really real. So I just think, I don't know, I just had an issue with that. It's just Cam, his peak is just better than Tebow. Like, you look at what Tebow did at Florida, it was great. He was awesome. But you look at who he had with him. It was Percy Harvin, Riley Cooper, Aaron Hernandez, Andre Caldwell, Brandon James, Chris Rainey. They had the Pouncey Twins protecting him. Cam Newton had no one. He did that with two practice squad wide receivers, an undrafted running back, and a bunch of nobodies on the offensive line. I know that whoever made this list did not go into it that deep, but it upsets me that they didn't.
Somebody looking for some rage bait for you.
Yeah, they got it. They got me. I'm hooked because I'm mad.
No Joe Burrow? I mean,
it's just insane.
Joe Burrow's peak was higher, and he still played a couple years. I guess it's Tim Tebow winning a national title as a freshman and as a junior or as a senior?
Junior.
Yeah, because Alabama beat them the next year as his senior year. Two titles is two titles.
Yeah, that's great. But if we're looking at the peak of those two players, Cam Newton and Joe Burrow also won titles in their peak, and they were better than Tim Tebow at his peak. Vince Young won a title at his peak, and he was better than Tim Tebow at his peak. I don't know. I've always had this issue when we're talking about, you know, when guys get into this like Hall of Fame discussions and things all the time. Like, just look at the player at their best over the course of their career. I this was happening with Mike Evans the other day. Like, people were talking about Mike Evans, how he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer, and people were trying to say, well, no, he's not. He's only there because he's been in the career that, like you just look at the peak of Mike Evans. He's great. He's awesome.
He was insane.
Yes.
As a college player.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think that is, to me, that's much more, a much fairer way to judge, like, how great a player was. Is like, let's just take each player's best season and compare them like that, rather than let's look at their entire career. Because things happen, man. People get hurt, you know, all kind of weird things. You get bad coaches, you get bad teams, like, things happen. I don't know. I'm getting off my soapbox now to actually have a little bit of fun here as we close the show out.
Absolutely.
Bit of recruiting news, as we always do on this show, really kind of been the basis of the show since it started. Boy, do I have some fun homework for you this weekend, Joe. How familiar are you with a running back by the name of Quintarius Mooney Gibson?
None, but I like the name Mooney a lot.
2027 four-star running back from Kell High School in Marietta, Georgia, is an absolute dude.
Monster.
Played in the Corky Kell and Dave Hunter Classic this week, which is a preseason kind of football kickoff thing for Georgia high school football. It's been going on since like 1985. The games don't count for the regular season, but it just pits together the best teams in Georgia against each other as a little preseason game. So he's playing against another very high quality team from the state of Georgia, who, as we all know, produces very high quality high school football, and was just utterly dominant. 16 rushes for 194 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Jeez.
And then also, just for good measure, added on a touchdown reception as well for 20 yards. 5'8", 205 pounds. I'm obsessed with this running back.
They didn't want to tackle him.
He's awesome. His speed, power, quickness, he's absolutely electric. You have to go watch his huddle highlights. Like, he does it all. He is running guys over. He is burning guys to the outside. He's juking dudes out of their shoes. I am telling you, man, if you don't know the name, you better know the name soon, because this is a guy that you want on your team. This is a guy that I hope Alabama goes after in the 2027 class. He picked up his offer, I believe, in January of this year, went on Twitter and, you know, made his announcement saying, blessed to receive an offer from my dream school, Alabama. So I think he is very high on the Crimson Tide as of right now.
Right.
I'm sure once those NIL, you know, offers begin to roll in, things may begin to change a little bit, but regardless, he seemingly has grown up at least a pretty big fan of the Crimson Tide. So, yeah, go do your homework, folks. Go check out Quintarius Mooney Gibson. Look up his huddle highlights and just sit back and be amazed, because he's going to be – he is already electric. He will continue to be electric as he goes through his junior year.
Mooney, man, we're going to need some running backs. You're going to probably lose Jam. If Richard Young stays on fourth string, he might go to the portal. Dre Washington, I think, is an older player as well. So you're going to need some running backs ASAP.
Yeah, big-time player. Very excited for him. Get to, you know, like I said, get familiar with him. Before we get out of here really quick, just remind you, or not remind you, but tell folks you can. The NFL preseason tonight, we'll get to see Jalen Milroe maybe a little bit, I would imagine, at least, probably in his second pregame or in his second preseason action. Not sure if he's going to be starting or anything like that. Hopefully he is. I mean, I don't really know why you wouldn't start him. We know what Drew Locke is. I said this, you know, last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. We know what you got in Drew Locke. He's a backup quarterback. He's a career backup quarterback. We don't know what you have in Jalen Milroe. He might be a starter. He might be a career backup. Who knows? At least throw him out there and find out. So we'll probably get to see him a little bit tonight, like I said. But that's all I got for today, unless you got anything else really quick before we got here.
No, man. It's going to be a big weekend.
I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama Podcast.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.